Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you today, bringing you stories horrific and hilarious this segment. First, though, I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist, as always, because, boy, without them, well, we wouldn't have a platform here now, would we, to bring you all these interesting tidbits and news that you need, and because you're not going to hear a lot of this from the mainstream media. Actually, I guarantee you, you're not going to hear some of this from the mainstream media, as horrifying and impactful on your life as it will be. I also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program as well. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can also find their Facebook page, Main Street Radio Network, Twitter, at Main Street Radio. And you can find Silk or Joe Show on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And while you're checking all that stuff out, you might as well check out the Alan Nathan Show, too, which I guest hosted earlier this week. They are at AlanNathan.com and on Twitter, at Alan Nathan. All right. Good news or bad news? I'm going to do a poll. Which of you in the audience wants to hear the good news or the bad news first? Tell me right now. Okay, heard you, so we're going to go with the bad news first. So Project Veritas, these are the folks who have undercover cameramen or whatever going around and catching left-wingers and other folks doing some crazy stuff that later they would go on to deny or that they have been denying that they are doing. They, and, you know, it's like hidden camera footage or whatever, candid camera, stuff like that. You know, they have a little camera hidden in a button on their shirt, and they catch someone saying something terrible or whatever, and then they publish the results online for you to see. They did a sting like that on Pfizer. And right now, Pfizer is talking about mutating the COVID-19 virus via, quote, directed evolution, unquote, to continue profiting from vaccine sales. In other words, Pfizer itself, to keep pumping out vaccines and keep making you think you need a vaccine, is mutating the virus. That's what they're talking about doing. I think that undercuts, first of all, just this entire narrative about COVID being natural or COVID being, was it just an accidental leak? When, as I've mentioned on the show before, the year before COVID came out, Dr. Fauci was talking about how we need to have a pandemic exactly like COVID in order to compel people to have vaccinations, in order to cut expensive vaccination trial periods from so that the pharmaceutical companies can reap a bigger profit. And he was telling, Fauci said this out in the open to a big symposium of people. Everyone was in agreement at that. Not you, of course, but everyone that he was talking to was in agreement with it. And then sure enough, after he says it needs to be done, it gets done the following year. And in some places, vaccines were compulsory. You had no choice but to get the vaccine. You had no choice but to make big pharma profit. And boy, did they profit. Moderna, for example, they went from being a failed near bankrupt business to suddenly being among its owners, being among the top billionaires on the planet. That was a heck of a turnaround thanks to the vaccines. And now Pfizer is talking about deliberately unleashing new pandemics, new plagues, just so that they can push more vaccines, as if that's not what COVID was already. This kind of implies that that's exactly what happened with COVID. Whether it kind of sheds the idea that there was a lab leak and more like a lab push out the door that started it originally. And we don't know exactly what these new COVID variants are going to be. They're going to be worse than the ones that we've had already that Pfizer's making. Do they even know what they're doing with these things? Will they create a super virus that is just way worse than COVID ever was, that you actually will need a vaccine in order to survive? We don't know what's going on because there's no oversight here. And the government sure as heck isn't doing anything about it. We're hearing this from Project Veritas. We're not hearing this from congressmen or the mainstream media or anything like that. We're not hearing this from some government watchdog group. We're hearing this from Project Veritas. If it weren't for them, we'd never have heard it. By the way, Project Veritas is accepting donations at all times if you want to go and help them continue this work. But it's disturbing, too, that a private corporation is allowed to get away with doing this sort of thing, creating actual viruses so that you are forced to buy their product to survive. Why are we allowing them to do this? Why isn't there a throng, you know, all those Antifa folks who are burning down Atlanta just because the police protected themselves against a member of Antifa? Why aren't they at Pfizer headquarters right now? Because Pfizer is about to unleash a new plague on them that's going to probably kill a couple of Antifa members. How come they're only attacking police? They're not attacking the private corporation. Because remember, Antifa stands for anti-fascist. These are alleged socialists, communists, anarcho-communists, etc. Definitely opposed to corporations. Why aren't they out there trying to burn down Pfizer for threatening to unleash a plague just so they could profit? I'm starting to think that the left kind of likes this sort of thing, where corporations get to do this sort of stuff. Kind of means that they aren't socialists or anarcho-communists. More like they're fascists, the same fascists they claim to be against. All those people who say Antifa stands for anti-fascist, therefore I'm anti-fascist and I support them. You know, I've seen them littering the forums denying the existence of Antifa, littering the internet comment sections everywhere you look. There's someone out there denying its existence and saying that Antifa is actually anyone who's against the GOP or anyone who's against fascism. Well, how come these guys aren't storming the doors with against Pfizer? Because this is horrifying what they're doing. But no, none of that. They're all on board with it, or at least tacitly on board with it by not resisting and not complaining about its existence. So here we are with a private corporation about to unleash a virus on the planet just so that they can increase their vaccine sales. And that's something out of like one of those anti-corporate 80s movies, except now it's the people who made those movies that are in favor of the corporations doing it. Because how many of those left-wingers out there are in favor of these vaccine mandates, in favor of forcing everyone to take the vaccines? In fact, I've talked about before, there was that poll that showed almost a majority of Democrats in favor of putting people who don't get the vaccine into concentration camps. And there's also 60% of them were in favor, if you said anything bad about the vaccine whatsoever, you go to prison. It was that same poll that showed that 60% of Democrats opposed hearing anything bad about the vaccines and favored putting you in prison for saying anything bad about the vaccines. So now you have one of the vaccine corporations about to create a virus in order to force you to buy a vaccine. Guaranteed, all those folks who want you in prison for saying bad things about the vaccine, they're going to be saying the same things when the Pfizer-created COVID variant comes out. Horrific stuff. But with 3 minutes or so left in the segment, let's get to the other item that I mentioned to soften the blow here, some sugar for your castor oil. So Congressman Adam Schiff, he is complaining about not being allowed on the House Intelligence Committee because he is a very, very leaky person. He is the source of many leaks, released a lot of information that should not have been released, especially under the Trump administration, where about those investigations into Trump that went nowhere. And for 6 years, he has said that they've had enough evidence to prosecute Trump. They haven't. And you've heard Robert Wiener, the Democrat strategist, who said that we've had on the show before, who said that, the attorney general just blocked it. That's all. Well, Democrats have had their own attorney general for 2 years now. He hadn't pursued those things. So we can only assume that anything they found was bogus. Otherwise, why didn't the Democrat attorney general that we have now pursue these matters, right? So anyway, Adam Schiff, he is complaining about not being on the House Intel Committee. And I will also add that his leaders in the Congress, the Democrat leaders in the Congress, have been trying to get him on those committees, get him onto sensitive committees. So what does Adam Schiff do when he can't get on this House Intel Committee because of the concerns about him leaking stuff? Well, he goes on to TikTok to complain. Now, remember, TikTok is a Chinese spyware application. Okay, everything you do on there is monitored by the Chinese government. They have all your sensitive information if you're on there. So they can sometimes access your location even if you're on there. So here he is. He's complaining about why he's not on the House Intel Committee as he's using Chinese spyware. Can you get any more stupid than that? As if you needed any bigger explanation as to why he's not on that committee, there he is on a Chinese spyware application. But this gets better, too. Another person that the Democrats are trying to get on the House Intel Committee is Eric Swalwell, best known for sleeping with a Chinese spy. And again, they don't understand why don't they want him on these committees? Maybe because he's sleeping with a foreign agent, just like with Adam Schiff. Maybe because he can't keep his damn mouth shut and he's leaking on a Chinese spyware application. He's using one of those. Come on. TikTok is actually being banned in several states by state for state employees because of its links to China. And there's talk in Congress about passing legislation just banning it from the country outright. So what does Adam Schiff do? Goes on it because, despite the security concerns, to complain about why he's not on the House Intel Committee. And I'm assuming he also is mad that Eric Swalwell, who sleeps with Chinese spies, also is not on the House Intel Committee. Why are Democrats trying to push these two idiots, or leakers, if not traitors, to be on these sensitive committees? Is it because China is giving them a huge tons of cash in order to get them on there? Or is it because Democrats are just idiots? It could be both. It could be all of the above, honestly. We have no way of telling with them because they have failed multiple intelligence tests, and Adam Schiff just failed one of them. All right, folks, we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
This report is sponsored by American Advisors Group. A new study shows that 80% of reverse mortgage borrowers are satisfied with the overall reverse mortgage experience, even 2 to 5 years after funding, and almost 8 out of 10 would recommend reverse mortgages to a friend. Designed to help those 62 and older supplement their retirement, more than 1 million homeowners have used a reverse mortgage from AAG and other companies. Dinah C. is a customer of American Advisors Group.
I don't have to worry about a mortgage payment every month. It keeps your mind at ease, and there's no pressure.
With a reverse mortgage, no monthly mortgage payments are required. And when you take out a reverse mortgage, you retain title to the property. The client could be subject to foreclosure, including failure to maintain the property and to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance. Join seniors 62 and over who would recommend reverse mortgages, and you could unlock some of your own home equity, which may have increased over time. A home equity conversion mortgage, HECM, is a reverse mortgage and is insured by the Federal Housing Administration, FHA. The borrower could be subject to foreclosure for reasons including failure to maintain the property and to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance. American Advisors Group, NMLS number 9392, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. American Advisors Group is headquartered at 18200 Von Karman Ave, Suite 300, Irvine, California, 92612. For complete disclosure information, visit aag.com/legal-information. These materials are not from HUD or FHA and were not approved by HUD or a government agency. Clients were paid for their time and their statements are their own.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give me a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Sorry, I was about to say Alan Nathan Show, because this topic was covered on the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week, and maybe even late last week, where the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, she was out there saying Republicans are the ones who want to increase gas prices, and talking about how gas prices have dropped under the Biden administration. Trouble is that they've dropped from the increase that Biden imposed. And in particular, as we're finding out, in Democrat cities, we're seeing more of an increase than elsewhere. Joining us now to talk about this, we have Craig Bannister. He is responsible for media relations, public relations, and marketing campaigns at CNS News. Craig, happy to have you. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. A little concerned about the price of gas continuing to go up.
All right. So tell us about what you found.
Well, I looked into it. You know, AAA puts out numbers every day on the cost of a gallon of regular gasoline. Actually, they do all grades. But they also occasionally tell us which markets, and by markets they mean states plus Washington, D.C. So if you count D.C. as a state, the markets that have the highest cost of gas. And it turns out, I did a little research, turns out 9 of the 10 were run by Democrat governors in 2020. The only exception being one who was there, had a Republican before and after. That was in Alaska. Governor Dunleavy was governor last year and again this year. But there was also a Democrat who was replaced by a Republican, which is why I say in 2022, because he just took over Joe Lombardo just took over in January of this year. So I don't think you can blame him just yet.
Wow. And yet we were supposed to believe that the Democrats are the ones who are trying to reduce gas prices. Despite this, I'm looking at the prices here on your article for listeners. That's over at CNSnews.com, titled 9 of the 10 markets with the highest gasoline prices run by Democrats in 2022. And it's $4.94 per gallon in Hawaii, $4.44 in California. I guess that's the statewide average or something, because I know it's been higher in some markets than others.
That's an average for a gallon of regular.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely a lot more than I'm paying at the pump, and I feel glad I don't live in any of those markets. But is there any awareness? Is there anything in these states indicating that they're trying to lower the prices? Especially California in particular. They're the ones talking about banning gas-powered cars. I don't think they really care that the prices are so high. And for people who talk about income inequality, making it unaffordable for people to go to their jobs, I'd say it contributes to that.
Well, but remember, the Democrat philosophy right now is that fewer people should be driving cars, at least they should be driving electric cars, which, as you know, are so expensive that it tends to price lower income people out of the car markets if they have to pay $60,000+ for an electric vehicle.
And it's almost like they decided that they loved the empty roads during the pandemic and wanted more of that. So now they're just trying to keep people from being able to afford private transportation, aside from themselves, of course. And it seems like an elitist move.
That I was going to point out, yes. Just as they have no problem flying jets over to Europe, but they want to reduce the carbon emissions of everyone else, so too, I don't think they're going to stop being chauffeured in gas-powered cars once everyone else is taken off the road.
Actually, I was reading about that. I forgot the source, but it was like some people who some of the chauffeurs who had to drive these wealthy elites around who call for green tech and all that. I think it was some people who were driving around at the Davos meeting or whatever. And they were saying how these people did not want gas cars, or did not want electric cars. They only wanted to drive gas cars.
Well, you know, the electric batteries were exploding in Florida after the hurricane, after they got too wet. So maybe part of it is a safety concern.
Right.
And do recall that Nancy Pelosi was getting her hair done when everyone else was locked out of that. Going back to the White House press secretary's claim that Republicans are going to be responsible for higher gas prices, the convoluted logic there is that she was talking about Republicans trying to pass a bill requiring Joe Biden to have a plan to replace the Strategic Petroleum Reserve every time that he drains it.
Wow. So basically telling him, because the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, he's been releasing some of that just to artificially lower gas prices. So, like, if when he runs out of that, wouldn't that cause prices to rise anyway? So isn't Joe Biden, by the White House press secretary's logic, isn't Joe Biden just as guilty as the GOP of raising gas prices?
I don't think that was in her notes that she was reading off of when she was talking. So that appears to be the logic there, is that the Republican bill that she was vilifying wants to tie increased production to any lessening of the Strategic Reserve, which, as I'm sure you've read, is the lowest since, was it 1983, the level. And it's supposed to be for emergencies, not political emergencies, of course, but actual consumer emergencies for people who need to get to and from work. Also noticed that when I wrote the article about the rising gas prices, up 12 cents from a week earlier, 35 cents from a month ago, today it's actually higher than that. When I wrote the article on Tuesday, the average price of gas was $3.45. Now it's up 5 cents from that at $3.50 a gallon.
It was just going up and going. Well, they're out of the midterms now, so they don't have to worry about lowering gas prices. And then with the GOP in Congress, they can always blame them. So I guess they have no reason to try to keep them lower anymore.
I don't see one, at least until the next election cycle. And the other thing you have here is, of course, what they never seem to address is that before Biden became president, America was energy independent and actually an exporter of energy. Day one in office, he canceled the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have not only brought gasoline to the American people, but also jobs.
Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing in the notes somewhere that Joe Biden, when they were trying to say that Joe Biden was good for gas prices and how gas production and all that oil production has been great under Joe Biden, they tweeted out this chart, and it was it stopped at 2020. It didn't even take into account any of the Biden years. So they were using Trump's gas production as evidence of Biden's success. Crazy. Craig Bannister, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe show today. And again, listeners, his piece over at cnsnews.com is titled 9 of the 10 Markets with the Highest Gasoline Prices Run by Democrats in 2022. More Silk or Joe show after the break.
At Cisco, we've come up with the first ever list of cybersecurity resolutions. We all make resolutions to be healthier, be happier. What Cisco's encouraging is that we make a resolution to be a little bit more secure. I'll give you three that you can consider. One, I resolve to protect my accounts. Longer passwords, stronger passwords. No one likes it. I know. So consider using a password manager. Most important, look for things like a multi-factor. So if an adversary does get in, we can click a button and we can stop them. I resolve to protect my toys and technology. I just got a new gift. Before I plug it in the internet, let me pull down the updates. And then What about our phones, our tablets, our devices? What about things we don't think about, like internet-enabled appliances, our home internet router? Make a habit of checking those regularly, just like we check the fire alarm for any updates. Finally, I resolve to protect my privacy.
For parents looking for a fun new read to enjoy with their children, a hilarious picture book called Got Your Nose is now available in stores from New York Times bestselling author Alan Katz and Unicorns Are the Worst creator Alex Willen. The book imagines what happens when a good-natured game of Got Your Nose goes too far. Becky loves when Grandpa Max comes to visit, but this time when he pulls his favorite prank on Becky, he accidentally takes her nose for real. Now Becky and Grandpa Max have to chase Becky's nose as it scurries throughout town, or else who knows what will happen. Acclaimed children's book author Alan Katz, also a six-time Emmy-nominated writer for many children's TV series, tells us more.
This is a sweet, funny, and fast-paced story with vibrant, colorful illustrations that I hope will leave kids smiling and help adults realize that you're never too old for silly fun.
Got Your Nose is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Sometimes I just wonder if, for Democrats, there's just this competition to do the most stupid thing they could possibly do and see how many Democrats will support them. Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. In the first segment, I talk about Congressman Adam Schiff complaining he's not on the House Intel Committee, and he takes his complaints to a China-owned spyware service, TikTok, which shows a total lack of awareness and just... I'm wondering, did he do that just to see how many people would support him as he did that? You know, same with Eric Swalwell. Did he know that he was sleeping with a Chinese spy and just decide, you know what, I'm going to see how many Democrats will support me being on secret intelligence committees even after I'm caught doing this. Got to wonder if there's like this competition to be as ridiculous as you can. And we're going to get into some more of that this week, this weekend. Yes, this weekend. It's Saturday on the segment. I meant in this segment, we're going to get to some more of that. So at Vanderbilt University, there is a professor who of theirs who was speaking at a major mathematics conference, and he declared that math is homophobic. And he was talking about how minority students who are also somewhere in the LGBTQ alphabet soup spectrum, how they were having such negative experiences with math. Only 39 of them that he talked with, and he probably talked with over 1,000 and threw out the ones who actually had sane responses. But according to these 39 cherry-picked results, math is homophobic too. And it's white, cis-heteronormative or whatever. So the foundations of reality are white, cis-heteronormative. I think he just supported the entire transphobic argument out there, because if you have two objects in front of you and then you add two more objects in front of you, you have four objects. But acknowledging this physical reality is homophobic, according to this dude. Now, this is not the latest that we've heard on such things. We've also been told that such thinking is racist. We were told that 3 years ago by the Smithsonian Institution, of all people, that acknowledging physical realities like having two of something in front of you and then adding two more of that same thing in front of you equals four of that thing. Apparently that's racist, according to Smithsonian, and you're crazy if you expect blacks to be able to understand such high concept things as if you have two apples, get two more apples, you now have four apples. So the Smithsonian declared that racist. In fact, in Oregon, they said it was racist to teach students such things, and they decided to not make math part of their curriculum because it's so racist to expect a black person to know if you have two apples and you get two more apples, you have four apples. And now it's also homophobic, according to a professor at Vanderbilt University, to expect, I guess, queers, trans, homosexuals, non-binaries, whatever else they're calling themselves, to understand that if you have two apples, take two more apples, you have four apples. So again, just crazy that they're at this point where they're denying physical reality. But as many on the right have pointed out, this whole idea of being trans is a sort of denial of physical reality. Now, I'm not, I'm more trans lenient than most, but however, I'm just pointing out this whole thing supports the transphobic argument out there. So unwittingly, this guy has supported that. And also, this professor supports the idea that trans people are insane, because failure to acknowledge reality is a sign of insanity. That is, failure to say that if you have two apples, you get two more apples, you have four apples. That means you're either severely learning impaired or you're insane. That there's not really much in between. You're either stupid or crazy. Yet we're supposed to just acknowledge and allow folks, because of their sexual identity or their race, we're just supposed to accept that they cannot acknowledge reality in any way, shape, or form. Because this is one of the most basic building blocks of reality. Math is not sexist, racist, bigoted, anything like that. Homophobic. Math is not any of that. Math is neutral. It's not like there's some, I don't know, mysterious force that says 2 + 2 will always equal 4. That's just how it is. That's the reality that we live in. That's the structure of the universe. The same thing, the same force that allows you to breathe is the same force that says 2 + 2 = 4. If 2 + 2 was at 5 at any point, then that would be such a serious disruption to the fabric of the universe, you'd probably be dead. So the mathematical clockwork of the universe, of the planet, you know, that these left-winger climate changer folks say that they worship, that same sort of clockwork universe there is the same that these people are saying is homophobic, bigoted, racist, sexist, all of these sorts of things. It is literally denying reality. And we're just supposed to go along with that. We're just supposed to say, oh, yes, this person is right. Mathematics is bigoted. So I guess what's the solution? Make sure that no blacks or homosexuals or anyone else in the LGBTQ spectrum learns math. Make sure only straight white men learn math, because math is also sexist too. So only straight white people should learn math. How do you teach math in a way that's, how do you make math not racist and not sexist when there's no partisanship to it? Or maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is that there's nothing partisan to it. And that's why they can't stand it, and they have to redefine it. The insanity of these people. And it's, you'd think that they would just come out, find reality, and accept reality as what it is. But no, they got to, through the force of their own hatred and their own narcissism and their own mental illness, they're trying to make reality fit what they think it should be, where 2 + 2 actually is 5 or 3 or 10 or whatever they feel like that day, as opposed to being a universal constant. They just don't understand that without universal constants, we can't function. There's no ability to function. Or maybe that's the point, to deprive anyone of a universal constant. Because if we don't have one, then reality is whatever the most powerful voice out there says. And they want to be the most powerful voice out there defining reality. You know, it's kind of crap. We think that it's just going to be limited to this crazy professor, right? But we've been wrong on that sort of thing before. We got to nip this crap in the bud. Gee whiz, like I said, the Smithsonian Institution said that math was racist back in 2020. We never thought that would happen. When talking about this stuff, what, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, when it started erupting in college campuses, we never thought that it would get out to the Smithsonian of all people. And we never thought that it would erupt in the state of Oregon throughout their education system as being, well, math is not required to graduate because black people are too dumb to learn it. That's the Democrats' reasoning. Again, not mine. They're the racist jerk-offs here who are saying that. I think anybody can learn math. It's pretty simple to learn. You just got to have a mind grounded in, you know, the mechanics of it. So anyone can learn it, but if you're a Democrat, you don't believe that. You believe only white people, only straight white people can learn math. And it's just sad and terrible and horrible that they are allowed to get away with that while claiming to be civil rights activists. It's a sick joke that they're allowed to get away with that. And like I said, we used to think that this stuff was confined to college campuses, not anymore. Now they're taking this ideology out into the real world and trying to force the real world to conform. How long before we're told that if you think 2 + 2 is 4, you're racist, bigoted, sexist, etc.? Not long. In fact, anyone who listens to the Democrats' budget policies or how the Democrats say that spending more money will somehow decrease inflation and save the poor or whatever, or raising costs for the poor somehow lower costs for the poor. If you oppose that, you're a racist. So right there, denying applying basic math to their policies makes you a racist. So we're already at that point where they are trying to reshape physical reality by denying facts and calling you bigoted if you disagree. But this other story that I've been meandering towards is how it's gone into the workplace. We used to say that this sort of stuff would never make its way to the workplace. Well, I'm going to also point out a little sidebar here. This is at Google, right? All these programmers and stuff. When I was taking programming at college, you know, programming was actually supposed to be a serious topic. You had to have something they called formal thinking. That is logic, as in you had to be able to apply logical skills and understand that 2 + 2 is always 4 and all that. You couldn't really afford to be have all this woke, the reality is what I say it is sort of idea, because programming language didn't actually work that way. Programming language was a very direct sort of thing. Yet these wokesters have filled all the tech industry, and over at Google right now, after they fired 12,000 people, now you'd think that these Google employees would understand the math of why 12,000 people had to be fired, 6% of the company. But no, instead, they are demanding psychological safety from their bosses, the workers who are left after others being fired. And it's like the way they're talking, they feel that they're entitled to a job. Like the job at Google isn't just at will by the employer. The job is their right, and they like a civil right to have that job or something, the way they're talking. Quote, how are we supposed to ever feel safe again? Unquote. That's what one of the employees said about the layoffs there that they had. It's like, you're not supposed to feel safe at your job. What the hell are you talking about? If the fortunes of the company shift, your butt's going to get canned. That's all there is to it. Did they not understand that? And on top of that, again, this is the whole my reality trumps your reality thing that they're trying to get to, where 2 + 2 = 5. These people who are complaining about not feeling safe at the workplace, they're the ones who advocated the Keystone Pipeline workers being fired under Biden, and coal miners being fired, and any job they don't like being erased. They don't care about those workers. They feel they're the only ones on top of job safety. Folks, more Silver Joe Show after this break.
This report is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Start your new year with real Coke taste and zero sugar. Coke Zero Sugar is now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Coke Zero Sugar will fuel your new year with that great Coke taste. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Its sizzling sausage, fluffy egg, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal Crispy Chicken Sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck, because all Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Coke Zero Sugar is a great way to start 2023. And since you rule, you can enjoy it all year, too, at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
Hi there, it's Joe Montana. Life after football has been full of taking my shot at new things. Now I'm working with Pfizer to tell you about pneumococcal pneumonia. Pneumococcal pneumonia should be the last thing standing in your way.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can strike any time of year. It can disrupt your life for weeks, and in severe cases, it can put you in the hospital and even be life-threatening. And Joe knows that vaccination is one of the best ways to help protect himself from pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 65 or older, or 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions like asthma, COPD, chronic heart disease, or diabetes, talk to your doctor or pharmacist about the risk of pneumococcal pneumonia and whether vaccination is right for you. Understand your risk at knowpneumonia.com. That's knowpneumonia.com. This is your shot.
This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year.
Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with us through this hour of the Silker Joe Show. In the last segment, I started getting into the education system a little bit. We're going to go further into that with Florida, how the governor, under their new law about teaching CRT and the like in schools, has banned the AP African American Studies course. That is, I think AP stands for Advanced Placement. That's, at least that's what I remember it standing for. It's a college-level course. And what does that course teach? It does not teach African American Studies exactly. It teaches abolish prisons, reparations, Afrofuturism, whatever that is, and cultural appropriation. That is the idea that white people shouldn't be allowed to wear dreadlocks, basically, and justifies people getting beaten over wearing such things, which has happened. Not exactly what you want to be teaching in schools. And also there was Black Queer Studies, which they gave this word salad that I just do not understand. Maybe you listeners can understand what the heck this queer studies thing is here. Basically, it is queer theory. I don't know. Anyway, about to run out of time, so I'm not going to go into that. But we have Dr. Vermel D. Green. She has been a school teacher, administrator, author of Please Teach Me Like I'm a Boy, 10 Steps to His Success in School and in Life, and founded Sacred Life Academy for Boys, a Christian school focused on building character and accommodating the educational needs of boys. Dr. Green, always happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
Joe, I'm doing just sparkling. Thank you.
I'm happy to have you. So what do you make of this weird idea that African American studies includes all of these different aspects, queer theory, abolish prisons, all that stuff? And none of that really seems to be at least the experience that I recall reading about, you know, slavery and Jim Crow and all that. I don't think any of this factored into that. What's your take?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, Joe, as a Black woman, my heart is just broken. But at the same time, I am so resentful of how this LGBTQ agenda tries to latch on and really even supplant the civil rights movement that my Black people fought for decades. And it happens over and over and over again. So what's happening is that they're taking Black history, which we fought for so long to have in the schools, and then they're kind of sneaking in their own agenda. And I really resent that. I resent how even this latest law that passed, same-sex marriage, they got it passed. Why? Because they snuck in a provision saying, oh, you can't be against interracial marriage. Well, no one is against interracial marriage. I mean, in my own family, I have several interracial marriages. But they snuck it in so they could tell these legislators, oh, hey, if you vote against it, we'll say you voted against interracial marriage. And this has happened over and over and over again. And I hope my fellow Black Americans, their eyes are becoming more and more open to how the left is using us to advance their agenda. It's so wrong.
Right. And it seems that they've done this with the education factor here, too. For example, because this course is being opposed because it features such off the wall stuff as abolishing prisons and queer theory and all that and reparations. But because it's being opposed for those reasons, anyone opposed to it is saying, oh, you're just opposed to being taught real history about slavery and all that. It's, no one's opposed to teaching that. It's this other stuff that they are against.
Exactly right. You know, we are Americans. Black people, we are Americans. But yet there needs to be some focus on our history because it was ignored for so many years. But don't sneak in all this other indoctrinational kinds of information that's going to hurt our people. And it really hurts our people because when you get into queer theory and homosexuality, that hurts the families, all families, especially the Black family. And the Black family has been the bedrock that has helped our race survive slavery, survived Jim Crow, survived the year of segregation, even survived the civil rights fight. The Black family was always strong. But when you insert all these other kinds of things, you know, that is just hurting the focus where it needs to be. As for abolishing prisons, which communities are hurt more by crime? It's the Black communities. So no, you know, don't abolish prisons. That's our only hope, to lock up some of these fools who are going around rioting and stealing and burglarizing and hurting our people. No. Abolish the police? No. Abolish prisons? No. This is not something that the majority of Black people would want.
And I don't understand exactly how people can think you can have a functioning society if you just let murderers, rapists, and the like roam free. And we've even seen that in, unfortunately, Black communities since the 2020 riots, where after that, police sort of stepped back or were told to step back or were cut down. And you've just seen such an increase in murders and rapes and all sorts of crimes. And that doesn't help anybody.
And especially, as you said, our Black communities, it doesn't help at all. I looked at all those Black businesses, you know, those people who lost their futures, they lost their businesses in those riots. And then along comes Black Lives Matter, making millions and millions of dollars. Not one penny went to actually help Black people. It was used to advance an agenda of destroying Black families, of transgenderism, of getting rid of the police. That's what that money is being used for. But again, under the guise of helping Black people, another group used us and used our cause for their own ill will.
Yeah, that just seems to be, and they were able to politically pressure a lot of corporations into supporting them, give them even more power at the millions and millions of dollars. Black Lives Matter, they've been around for 10 years now, and, you know, I think I read somewhere it was like $80 million they raked in 2016, or at least by 2016, they had raked in $80 million. They hadn't spent a dime on that, on anything that they claim to care about. It seems they've spent it on their mansions and the like.
They sure did. I mean, big, beautiful mansions. Why not rebuild Black businesses? Why not have scholarships for Black children to go to schools, to go to private schools, to go to schools where they will actually learn? Why not use that money in Black communities to improve the schools, to help make more jobs? Instead of having our people stand on street corners collecting welfare, why not help use that money to put us to work? That's what's going to count.
All right. Dr. Green, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. Real quick, speaking of education, Sacred Life Academy for Boys, where can our listeners find out more about that?
Sacred Life Academy closed some years ago due to finances, but please visit us on theboysinitiative.org to hear more about how to help our boys in school and in life.
All right. Thank you for being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. And listeners, thank you for tuning in as well. Always appreciate having you on board on our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can also find us on social media at Silk Road Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.